Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Listen, we stuff this podcast with ads like Jonathan Sullivan used to stuff his face with hot dogs during the pregame for Saints games. If you don't like the ads, sign up and become a patron today. Patrons get access to this podcast ad-free. No ads ever. And they get the Booze Bundle welcome box, 4 swag items, amazing, and a Saints player card, and you get access to the Discord channel. Why wouldn't you do it? It's 10 bucks. You're practically making money. So do it today. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up to become a patron. That's saintshappyhour.com.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Starting a little late because somebody had audio issues, and for the first time ever, it wasn't my fucking fault. I just want
guilty.
Guilty. Dave, we had clean feed, the brilliant crystal clear audio that freaked people out. We had it. Dave was giving us feedback, so it was all Dave's fault. So it's back to the mediocre audio you love and you crave. So how about that? So
how about it?
Yeah. So Dave is, of course, muted himself.
Oh, I was saying we didn't want our listeners to get too spurled.
No, we didn't want them to get spurled. I told the people that it was like Rob Ryan's 2013 Saints defense. It would appear, and we wouldn't understand why it worked, and then just as we got to love it, it would disappear, and we'd never see it again. By the way, I just want to say before we get to the real important, the things that aren't important, I broke fucking news today on the Twitters. I tweeted out Will Lutz was kicking for his job this week in practice, and he liked the tweet.
I think you might have actually done the opposite of broke news. I think you might have actually pissed off one of the Saints players.
You gave him poster board material.
Yeah, and now he's never going to talk to us or come on the podcast ever.
I know. I'm surprised Morstead didn't slide into Andrew's DMs and say something angry. But the Saints, they win. They beat Chicago 21-9. Dave, the fact that the Bears took time out of their busy week preparing for the Saints and did a presentation to the team and was like, "Hey, CeeDee Deuce, he gets under your skin. He's known to do that. Don't punch him in the face." And the coach said they spent 20 minutes on it, and they still punched him in the face. Do you think they have, like, a PowerPoint? Like, do not punch this man in the face? Like, how did they present it to him, and why do you think it failed?
I mean, I think they were definitely showing tape of the last time it happened with Javon Wims. I'm sure they probably, rewind it and, keep doing it back and forth a few times just so it really sinks in. But
clearly it wasn't effective enough.
No, it was not. So let's just run down the list here of people that CJ has punched in the face so far this season.
Let's
start
do
off
it.
With Mike Thomas. We've got Javon Wims.
You mean people who have punched him in the face?
Sorry, that's right. That's right. that have punched CJ in the face. But I think, like, as far as, like, Saints zeitgeist is concerned, like, I think, like, you know, the Popeyes and Gatorade thing, you know, all those other like silly things that will always be remembered by Saints fans. I think the getting punched in the face, I think this is like my favorite thing of all time. Like, this is like just awesome. I mean, really, like, he needs to give a TED talk on how to get punched in the face. I mean, he has got it down to a science. Like, what is he telling these people? What is he saying? He's got to be like talking about their mothers or something. He's got to be going places that should not really be gone to, because like you said, they went over this, and they still could. And what's crazy about it is, like, he's wearing a helmet. What do you think you are doing? You're not hurting him. You're only hurting yourself, most likely. You're potentially hurting your hand. Like, all of this is pointless. It's fun to see now. Surely Vegas is going to come up with a prop bet, like, if they continue to go into the playoffs, like in the Super Bowl. Like, will Chauncey Gardner-Johnson get punched in the face?
Forget the game. Like, we'll talk about the playoffs and all that and the excitement. I really want to talk about first just between the bizarre just fact that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gets another Bears receiver ejected for punching him in the face. Between that and Jimmy Graham scoring on the last play of the game in the Superdome, a meaningless touchdown, but a ridiculous play, and then he just runs into the tunnel. He's like, see you later. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Which moment, like, I almost felt bad for Jimmy Graham, because I thought to myself, if there's 70,000 fans, I think somebody said this on the Discord earlier, maybe it was surprising. If there was 70,000 fans in the Dome, he would have had a standing ovation for that play.
Saints fans?
I think so.
Really?
I mean, I think some fans would have been like, God, I can't believe we gave up a touchdown, because they would have wanted to preserve, you know, keeping him out of the end zone. But I just, there was this weird, like, as he scored, I just had like this weird poetic moment, like, wash over me, that was just like, I can't believe Jimmy Graham just did that. The only thing that would have made it better is if he had dunked on the goalpost, gotten the 15-yard flag.
Yeah, he's too old. He's too old to do that now. He can't get high enough. The thing that's,
you guys didn't think that the way the game ended was just like so weird though. It was like biblical.
I've got to be honest with you. I actually started walking out of the Superdome after Chicago converted that third down after the 2-minute warning.
Oh, so you didn't even see it?
I didn't even see it. I just assumed.
Have you seen a highlight?
No, I never even looked at the highlight. I know it was like a one-handed grab. I saw photos of it.
Dude, you got to watch. I mean, it's an insane catch. Absolutely. It was Odell Beckham worthy.
Right. So admittedly, yeah. I actually didn't see it.
The thing that
I was surprised the Saints gave up a touchdown.
I mean, well, the thing is, you have to remember, full disclosure, Andrew, and all the time I've known him about different things that do or don't happen for the Saints in the draft or free agency, he's never been as sad as when Jimmy Graham got a ridiculous contract from Green Bay and didn't come back to the Saints. Like, of all the things that have happened for Saints draft, when they didn't get to pick a guy, when a guy chose somebody else in free agency, of all the time Andrew's been, I've...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Known him, which is almost a decade, right, Andrew? Like, you've never been as sad as you were when Jimmy Graham didn't come back to the Saints.
Yeah, it hit me different, I have to admit. And thank you, Fredo, in the chat. Like, the other weird kind of non-game, just like weird cosmic thing going on in this game was the Saints. Breeze sneaks it to potentially put them up 28-3 if Lutz can make an extra point. And then it gets reversed. Like, it would have been 28-3. Because then, I think if the Bears had scored on the last play of the game when it was 28-3, then we would have been really pissed.
Well, Peyton probably would have had Dennis Allen have the defense play aggressive and not play prevent defense. He would have been like, we're getting this 28-3 win.
There was some Twilight Zone shit going on at the end of that game. I'm just going to say that.
It was. The thing is, I keep going back to, though, is, and before we get off of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the thing that is so amazing about him is he just doesn't react to getting punched in the face. It's like he's been doing this his entire life since he's been 8 years old, and he's just used to getting hit in the face, and he just doesn't react.
He's from Florida.
And honestly, I think the NFL, they just, because of reputation that he has, they were like, we know you did something to make Miller hit you in the face, so we're going to give you a penalty too. We're going to throw him out the game, but you're getting a penalty too.
And that's bullshit, because he didn't. He never put hands on him. They did penalize him for something verbal, whether they knew what he said or not. I don't know. Can you be penalized for trash talking?
I don't know, but clearly the book is out on Gardner Johnson, and he's got to be careful now too, because I feel like refs are looking for it now.
Yeah,
and they asked about it.
There's a wide interpretation, Dave. Like, you can, they let trash talking go, but there's certain things, I guess, that like a referee can say, dude, even though you didn't hit a dude or whatever, like that's over the line. I guess like if you insult his mom or something, I don't know. Maybe use like a slur, I guess. Like if you use like a racist or homophobic or whatever slur, I guess they could hit you up for that.
Can we get him mic'd up for an entire game with NFL films? Like,
it'll never happen.
I want a combination
if the
thing.
Saints
I want
are smart. It'll never happen.
I want Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I want a combination of him mic'd up and the Nickelodeon graphics.
Did you guys hear Sheldon Rankins today? They asked him, can you give us a PG version of what Chauncey Gardner-Johnson says during games? And he was like,
nope,
I
cannot.
I couldn't even begin to tell you any. He's like, any single word that he said, you couldn't print it.
No, it's absolutely true. I have to say, almost as funny as Chauncey Gardner-Johnson getting punched again was the fact that on the Nickelodeon broadcast, their MVP, the Nickelodeon most valuable player, Mitch Trubisky won it.
That was another Twilight Zone-esque weirdness about this
game. Well, it's not really the Twilight Zone, because the vote was fraudulent, okay?
We have a major
case of voter fraud in this country, okay? Stop the steal. Stop the steal.
PFT, commentator.
No, yeah, all those... Well, not him, but also Big Cat, all those Barstool guys, I am convinced, because they had a shirt ready to go, ready to sell you. They had an MVP shirt that they were selling in the fourth quarter of that game. So they had this shit ready to go. They knew they were going to give out this award. Yeah. They knew they were going to influence the vote and get Trubisky
election
and all those guys to do it. And then they knew they were going to make money off of it by selling a shirt. So, first of all, look, game respect game, okay? Good for them. That was fucking brilliant. In fact, you could even call me jealous, because that was fucking genius. But obviously, my kid asked me. But you know, my kid asked me today. He was like, "Who won the MVP?" And I was like, "Mitch Trubisky." And he was like, "Should it have been Drew Brees?" I'm like, I didn't even want to get into all the details and like explain to him how this came about. Why they gave it to the losing quarterback? I was like, "Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened, kid. I don't know what happened."
who would have been the most ridiculous Saints player to give it to? Will Lutz,
CJ Gardner Johnson. No. But I think the funny thing was I think the deal that Nickelodeon had was that the MVP was supposed to get slimed, but obviously they weren't expecting somebody on the losing team
to get slimed.
So they didn't slime him, because I don't think anybody at Nickelodeon wanted to go into the locker room and slime the losing quarterback. So I think that's why Peyton got slimed.
Yeah, Peyton got slimed and ruined a pair.
Peyton Jordans. Said before the game that if they won, if the Saints won, he would get slimed.
He would get slimed.
That was the promise he made pregame.
Yeah, not.
Yeah, no, but no, it's you know, they had that big trophy too that they had made for the winner. And how pissed is Nickelodeon? They got duped.
But I got to say, the broadcast was, as soon as the Saints got up 14-3 and I knew it was in the bag, I switched over to Nickelodeon. It was great. They had the slime zone, they had graphics. It was great. I wish the NFL, now that everybody is saying how much fun it was, I hope the NFL allows more of this, where they don't just do the nerd sort of thing of, hey, we can have the film room where we have a bunch of ex-coaches say boring things. I hope they have like an adult thing where you can have cursing and maybe you have people drinking. You have a kids version. Like, why wouldn't you do?
That'd be cool.
Like, why wouldn't you have, not for every game, obviously, but for the big games and playoffs, like, why wouldn't you have 3 and 4 different flavors that people can watch? And the kid thing, it got my son more excited about football. So I loved it. I thought it was a great idea.
Well, Mitchell Trubisky needs to do the right thing and give that trophy to its rightful owner and find Deontay Harris and hand it to him in person.
The funny thing was, two funny things were happening after the game. Wikipedia, people were going to Wikipedia and giving Mitchell Trubisky the Nickelodeon, the MVP. They were saying it was his greatest honor, and then Wikipedia would delete it. But also, people were going to Wikipedia. This is better. Saints fans were going to Wikipedia and saying Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was the owner of the Bears. And Wikipedia was deleting that, so that was fun. But I guess we need to talk about the actual game. So Dave, how was it? How was the atmosphere at a Saints playoff game with 3,000 of your closest friends?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten this question a bit. You know, people are always like, "Oh, what's the vibe like at the game?" There's no vibe, okay? You know, people are like, "Well," or people like during the game, they're asking me like, "Well, how do the fans feel about, you know, that play, like live while it's happening, while I'm there? How do the fans feel about the play?" I'm like, "I have no idea. It's had the same vibe. It's the same sound volume level the entirety of the 3.5 hours. So there's nothing to be gleaned by that. There's no electricity. It's good and bad. I love the laid back, just walk into the dome. I parked again on Poydras Street in front of the dome. I walk in 5 minutes before kickoff. I can go to the bathroom. They weren't selling alcohol in the dome, by the way, this time around, because of the rules.
They're back to level one, right?
The rules. So this was a no alcohol game. So that was a first.
So you weren't polluted and getting in kickers' heads?
No, I was not. I wasn't that close. I was further back in the section. But and by the way, thankfully, the level section won the Harrah's ticket thing that they have, you know, where they pick a reward and then they also pick a section to win. So fortunately, the Plaza level won.
What does that mean?
Like they do. Remember last year they do it where they spin and it's like, okay, if the Saints get 3 sacks, then you get $20 of free slot play. Or if the Saints, you know, make
an
interception. I don't remember what it was. $25 like a free slot fight,
like a free appetizer or something.
No, it was gambling related. But anyway, but no, there is no vibe, and it's lame. It is lame for a playoff game. It's really sad. And again, you know, I'll go back to this is no way for Drew Brees to go out. But whatever, it is what it is.
Well, I feel like Brees should be allowed to play for free and just come back for one game next year.
Yeah.
You know, like play the opener as a starter, maybe even just play the opening drive. And then it's like, okay, you're off the team. You can retire. We don't owe you any money kind of deal.
That's not a terrible idea, actually. And but sounds, he, something he I could see like, that
too. Yeah, just to, you know, they probably won't let him play. He'll probably just come out to midfield and do the hoot out chant or something lame. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it'll hit me later in the week. I think that this is it, man. This is his last game in the dome. But this game, you know, we gave the Saints a lot of shit, I think, on Saints Twitter and all. You know, we talked about, oh, the Saints, they let bad quarterbacks beat them. They let first-time starters play great against them. They shut Mitchell Trubisky down. And his stat line, if you just look at it in a vacuum, it doesn't look that bad, Andrew. But my cats are going bananas. but Mitchell Trubisky, like, it didn't look that bad, but Andrew, they shut him down completely. And from the run game to everything was shut down completely. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Defense was incredible. Yeah, I really, from the very beginning, I thought, oh, Ralph is going crazy.
I wish you could see this.
I know, that's beautiful. But no, I think defensively, it starts with run defense. You know, I think if the Bears were going to have any chance, they're going to have to establish Montgomery and make Trubisky's life a lot easier, because Trubisky was never winning this game. But you know, the Saints had some fortunate plays. You know, obviously the one play that kind of comes back is the dropped ball by Wims in the end zone.
Good thing they didn't have Darnell Mooney playing, because no Tulane Green Wave former player would have dropped that.
Here we go.
Yep.
Breaking news. One of my cats just tried to murder the other one. And that's why I was doing the concerned face to my wife.
Concerned face?
My wife.
That looked like the autoerotic asphyxiation face.
That's why you got to get on the live stream, people, for moments like that.
Just another comment about the Bears. You know, I took my shot at Wims there or whatever, or I plugged Mooney. But I don't know. Like, if you're the Bears, do you not consider putting Foles in the second half? Like, it's Foles. Like, you know, he's got that magic. I know Foles didn't look good in the regular season, but I mean, Christ, Foles has always come through. He's got that winner's stink on him, and he's always come through. He's obviously not doing it. Like, fuck it. You might as well throw shit to a wall and see what sticks. No?
I mean,
yeah, he's like playoff. He's like playoff Josh Hill, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like playoff
Josh Hill.
He only plays
when it matters.
I mean, when you. You know, Bill Simmons said it today, and I kind of agreed with him in that he looked at it. He's like, when the Bears missed their trick play, which was a perfect throw, when they didn't intercept Breeze when they had a chance, when they caused the fumble from Taysom and didn't cash it in for a touchdown, when they did all of the – when they didn't take advantage of any of that, like, you knew as a 10-point underdog they were done. Like, it was a wrap, you know?
I mean, it was obvious that the Bears were the team that got the last seed that wouldn't have been in the playoffs, you know, if it was last year or any year prior. I mean, they were just a poorly, the offside, in addition to Miller punching Gardner Johnson after 20 minutes of studying it the week prior. You know, in addition to that, the offside shit, the hard counts, falling for the hard counts, it's just obvious that they're just not on the same level as a team like the Saints.
Not to crap all over the Saints winning a playoff game, because they've only won 10 playoff games in their history. But Andrew, I think it's fair to ask, I don't think the Saints would have beat any other playoff team with how they played yesterday. Like, the Bears were terrible.
I don't know, man. They were so good defensively. Yeah, I mean, you might be right. There's no doubt they're going to have to play better against any of the remaining teams if they want to win. I fully agree with you there. But my God, though, man, they were so good defensively. So good.
They were. It's the best defensive performance in the history of the Saints in the playoffs, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And look, the last touchdown was totally whatever. It was one of those things where they're just like, hey, let's just let the clock run and not get injured. So I take that with a grain of salt. But like, for them to hold the Bears, basically shut them out, right? Because that field goal was – they didn't even get a first down on that drive. It was just a field goal that was set up by a Taysom Hill fumble. So they basically shut out the Bears as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, obviously there was the drop on the deep ball on the trick play. But other than that, it was just lights out. The Bears couldn't get a first down.
They didn't convert a third down until past the 2-minute warning at the end of the game, when the Saints were just like, whatever.
Yeah, well, were they 0 for 8 at one point? 0 for 9?
They were 0 for 10.
Yeah, they wound up – no, I think 0 for 9, because I think they wound up finishing 1 for 10.
Yeah, that's right.
Either way, apples and oranges. But yeah, that's the stat of the day. You want to pick a star of the day. Well, the stat of the day is the fact that the Bears are 1 for 10 on third down and the Saints are 11 for 17. I mean, when you have that big of a discrepancy, it's going to be hard for the Saints to lose a game like that.
That is peak Ravens. We're talking Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and Terrell Suggs type performance.
Well, I want to reiterate what I said. I think I said it on the podcast, Ralph, when it was just me and you and Andrew was away. And I said that I think if for the Saints to go to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be on the backs of their defense. They're going to play better teams. They're not going to put up 35 points. You know, they're going to have to win games where they're only going to put up maybe 17 points. Now, obviously, you don't expect them to do that against the Bears. We expect them to put up more points against the Bears. But if we have to play the Rams in the future, or the Packers, or whoever, look, the Saints are not going to get to the Super Bowl unless their defense plays great. And we saw that yesterday, fortunately. And if they continue to do it, I am very confident.
Well, I look at it this way, Andrew. The Saints have to win four games to win a Super Bowl. And the odds of them playing lights out four games in a row is slim. So I didn't mind that they were probably a B-plus on defense. Maybe you could even grip them an A if you won on defense. And they were like a C-minus, C-plus on offense. Like, and they won. So, like, the Bears game, it could be completely different from the Tampa game. So I'm actually happy that they sort of shanked it off the tee yesterday, still won. And now they saved their really good performances for the divisional round, the NFC Championship, you know?
I'm with you. I'm with you on that line of thinking for sure.
We saw it earlier in the regular season. It's just like you win ugly, you stack wins, and then you get into a big game like Saints Bucks, and then you blow them out. You play your best football of the season. So sometimes, you know, you gear yourself up for the biggest matchups and play.
I'll say this, and this is a plug for become a patron, and you get access to the best. Number one, we're number two in Malta this week, by the way. Number one is Mina Kynes. So number two in Malta. Access to this podcast every single day. But if you sign up, you get access to Andrew's grades. And the interesting thing about your grades, Andrew, is the Saints' interior offensive line really struggled. But the weird thing was they struggled against three former Saints, Akeem Hicks, Mario Edwards, and I didn't know this dude was still in the NFL, I forget his name.
John Jenkins?
Jenkins, yeah.
The fumble recoverer?
Yeah.
Still in the NFL?
He's still in the NFL.
When Taysom Hill fumbled, he fell on it. He caught it.
Yeah.
He caught the fumble.
He used to host that Pimp My Ride show on NFL Network.
But it was – that was weird. But the interior, Andrew, they struggled against the Bears. And, look, Tampa, they have Sue. They won't have Vita Vey. He's injured. But what did you see from the offensive line? As we were real excited about how we thought they were going to look, how they were healthy and all this. What did you see from them yesterday that was good? And what did you see that maybe concerned you going forward?
Well, no surprise, tackle play was exceptional. Teron Armstead, amazing once again. What a level he's at right now. So Armstead, obviously incredible. Ramczyk shuts out Khalil Mack again. Khalil Mack, no sacks, two tackles. I know he had that sack, but it was waved off thanks to Lil Jordan, actually. Lil Jordan drew a little – your boy, Dave, he drew a little holding call and negated the lone Mack sack. So Mack is kept off the stat sheet again. I'd like to point out that on that play, Kamara was responsible for picking Mack up, and so that wasn't even a Ramczyk blunder. But, yeah, the tackle play, once again, exceptional, no surprise. The interior is a little shaky right now. McCoy didn't play great, but really it was Ruiz and Pete that I thought didn't have a great game. So, you know, man, Andres Pete, I tell you what.
He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down.
Well, we say he's up, he's down. It's like the first half was pretty awful, and the second half was pretty great. It's like from game to game. Mid-game, he oscillates between amazing and awful. It's
something.
He's the weirdest player, man. Ruiz, yeah. You know, I think tough matchup against Hicks. Hicks gave him a tough time last time these two teams played, and he gave him a handful again today. And, you know, obviously, like you said, those former Saints, they were motivated to play well. Manti Te'o was in that game.
They had so many. I was like, Manti Te'o, Jenkins. I was like, that dude's still in the league? What?
Ryan Pace, can't think for himself.
Yeah,
he's just
got
to copy everything the Saints have already done, it feels like.
The Bears are like the bizarro Saints in that they – burn all their they trade up and they don't have any picks. They have wrecked their salary cap, but none of it's worked. And what they've got for it of all Ryan Pace is his 5 years of being GM. They've got a division title and an 8-8 playoff berth. Their cap is a disaster. Like, they let that dude Floyd for the Rams go, and he was awesome against the Seahawks, and they signed Robert Quinn, and Robert Quinn was like invisible for them yesterday. So
Quinn has given Armstead some problems in the past, so yeah. That was good to see Armstead neutralize him.
Pace got Darnell Mooney and Cairo Santos, two Green Wave players,
and Bartini, it's a wash. Mingo,
it's a wash.
You know, but we talked about the offensive line struggling, but I will say this. Dave, Kamara, 99 yards, really hard. Like, Kamara, he had hard yards. Like, the Saints, if they wouldn't have had him yesterday, and they would have had to play on Saturday, and he wouldn't have been able to go, the Saints still probably would have won, but I think it would have been degrees harder. He looked great. I thought Michael Thomas, he wasn't, like, peak Michael Thomas, but he looked healthy and like just kind of like knocking off the rust, and maybe he'll be better. Like, he looked physically as good as he has all year. How did you think he looked yesterday?
Thomas looked fine. I mean, you know, we didn't need him to win the game. We didn't need him to like take over the game. But again, or to your earlier point, I think it's nice to have, you know, at some point, MT is going to have some big game. He's going to have some big 2-touchdown, 11-catch, 150-yard game. I'd rather the Saints keep that in their back pocket for now and save that for later. If not this week, then in the NFC Championship game. But, yeah, he looked rested. You look rested, Michael Thomas.
Sean Payton shut a media member down today. They were like, was it good that maybe Kamara got rest week 17 and he was fresher for the playoffs. Sean Payton was like, no, it's always good to practice. It's always good to play. What he really wanted to say is you can't go chasing the poontang and miss week 17 and maybe miss a playoff game. No, he needed to practice. Sean Payton was very.
Kamara said he felt like he had a bye week. Kamara was like, yeah, it worked out. Okay. I want to talk about the slime real quick. You know, so Sean Payton got slime.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to, maybe we can ask Zach Streif this, Ralph. I think he might be coming on our show later this week. But so what's the deal? Like they have like a couple dudes with buckets and they slime you, and then what? Like they have like a cleanup crew, or
yeah,
is it just like
he ruined
a pick. Slime you. Like
he ruined it. He didn't think it through. He ruined a pair of Jordans.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And so then what does Sean do? Like he's on his own to shower the goo off himself?
Yeah.
Like are you allowed to put that down in a shower drain?
Amy just asked him what he felt, what it tasted or felt like. He said it was like Jell-O. It was like room temperature Jell-O.
That hadn't been fully cooked is what he said.
Yeah, that hadn't been fully cooked.
Oh, so slime is edible?
I guess so. I mean, they were dumping it on kids in the 80s, man. It can't be poisonous, right? You know?
Do you have a daughter? Do you not make? Do you don't make like slime at home? Like we always make. My daughter
not,
always like.
Of course we do, but that's not that consistency.
Yeah.
It's not that liquidy.
Well, it depends on how much activator you put in there, how much saline solution.
Yeah. So. Before we get to the questions, which we have a ton of, thanks, we have a bunch on Twitter. I didn't check the Discord. I checked it earlier today.
Who's the cleanup crew? Is it left to like the Saints janitor?
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Or is just Eli's there, and the janitor's got to come in and take
totally.
Care of business, or is there a Nickelodeon clean crew? What do you think?
I think it's probably the Saints.
Leave a pile of slime there.
Yeah. Like, it's probably rude of Nickelodeon to just do that, you know. But
yeah, but it's COVID. You can't just be traveling. You can't have extra people traveling with the production crew. You can't be just bringing your own cleanup guy.
Not during COVID. Yeah.
No, you can't.
Wait, but going back to Kamara, what's up with? Was I the only one who thought it was crazy that they were like still using him on that final drive and like consistently? Like I kind of felt like the game was in hand.
Oh, it's batshit.
Oh, completely. Completely, but your boyfriend Latavius was hurt.
Latavius was hurt. Ty Montgomery was inactive.
Oh, Latavius got hurt.
Why is Washington not getting those carries? I didn't understand that. And
I thought
Breeze
like
sneak
to,
on fourth down. Like I was just like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Dude, football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This person must have been like hardcore because the Rams ran a quarterback sneak with Goff on like fourth and a foot. And I was like, McVay, what the fuck you doing running a quarterback sneak with your quarterback with the broken thumb? That'd be like Sean Payton having Breeze do the leap on fourth and goal from the one tomorrow. That'd be stupid as fuck. And somebody was like, Ralph? Thoughts, and it's like the tweet from you. I'm like, it was accurate yesterday, it's accurate today. What do you want me to say? Like,
yeah.
If he's healthy enough to do it, Dave, you like that's like a fine bottle of wine with the broken ribs. Like, you got to save that for the games that count. Like, that the Bears game is in hand, you got to save that bullet for the big games, man. You can't be running that.
To be fair. They've been running that play for 15 years now. If there's a team that the Saints are playing in the playoffs and they don't know that that's coming, shame on them, and they don't deserve to.
Is that the first time it's never worked?
I haven't seen that on film.
Is that the Andrews? I can't ever remember it not working.
2008, apparently, it didn't work.
Apparently. the second time.
But that's where, look, Kamara's, he needs to be off the field. Taysom's knee's banged up. Latavius is out. Montgomery's in it. That's when you put Malcolm Brown in the game. Like, that would have been the perfect time to have fat guy touchdown, Malcolm Brown take it from the one. Damn, that would have been hilarious.
Get Dwayne Washington a carry, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
Just, it like...
I would have preferred Malcolm.
You know?
Like, I mean, I'm assuming he was like either he's trying to keep Kamara happy, feed his ego, help him get some sort of playoff bonus incentive or something. I mean, there's something going on there.
Well, yeah, actually, it was either that or you're the one taking all the hits.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make you suffer for hanging us out to dry. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
Well, I mean, it's just the thing is, I mean, part of me is like, look, and that's a good sign because Drew wouldn't do that play unless he was healthy. But part of me is like, man, those ribs can't be healed up completely, you know?
I know. I understand that Sean Payton lives in the moment, and he's like, we're going to go win this game. We're going to finish this game the right way and punch this drive in, and I get all that. So, like, he's not thinking long term. But it just surprises me, like, as much as Sean Payton has dialed into the details and no stone left unturned, and I'm just surprised that he wouldn't be like, yeah, we're not running the QB sneak play.
Like,
the die. We're not – or I'm not going to put Kamara in. Like, there's just no benefit to Alvin Kamara getting 20 yards on this drive on the ground, and we're already up 21-3. This game is in hand. Chicago will be lucky if they get another score on us. And I'm just going to hand off to Dwayne Washington. Like, I just don't understand the thinking there. I don't get it either.
So
I'm glad I'm not alone.
No.
So before we get to the...
Yeah, and someone just put in the chat, like, should Jameis have been playing? That's a great question. On that, you're up 21-3. You're handing the ball off. Should it have been Jameis Winston handing off to Washington?
Yes.
Well, why would it be Jameis and not Taysom?
Taysom tweaked a knee.
Yeah.
Right?
Taysom tweaked a knee, yeah. So, also, Taysom deserved to be punished for fumbling.
I want to go back to that. We have talked on this podcast. When Taysom was the starting quarterback, when Drew was injured, we were talking. I was talking about Taysom and how his fumbles concerned me moving forward and how he can't, you know.
Horseshit ball carrying, I know that. Horseshit.
And Andrew said, well, it's okay because he's not going to be the quarterback come playoff time. And Ralph and I both said, yes, but he's still going to be involved in the offense. They're going to use him. If not as much now, then more than that. And this is the exact shit that Ralph and I were talking about.
He's going to get used.
He's still fumbling the fucking ball. He's still putting the goddamn ball on the ground.
Horseshit ball carrying, I know that. Horseshit.
I love Taysom. I love what he can do. I love what he brings. But I got to be honest, the Saints can win in the playoffs without him. They don't need him. He's a luxury. If the luxury
he's in the red zone though, man.
But I have to say,
how
man,
how many times did the Saints score 7 instead of settling for 3? That him in the red zone.
This is
exactly the shit I'm worried about. They almost lost the playoff game to the fucking Bears. If the Bears weren't so fucking terrible and had capitalized more on that turnover, this game could have gone totally differently, and it could have been Taysom's fault. And even though he's not the fucking starting quarterback of this team, he's still fucking us with his turnovers.
Well, I'll say this about that play with Taysom.
It's fair.
It's basically that is the case against Taysom being the starting quarterback for the Saints next year. It's in a nutshell that one play. He fumbled. He wasn't quick enough diagnosing the play. That should have been an easy touchdown.
Troutman was wide open on the crossing route.
Yeah, like
he will. But he obviously wasn't looking at Troutman and whoever he was looking at, I guess Deontay, but he will not throw the ball unless that person is open at
he's
the
gotta see it. He's
he does
see it. Yeah.
Somebody on Twitter described it perfectly. I don't think it was a tape watcher. I think it was just a regular Saints fan that I follow. He said Taysom doesn't throw people open. He throws to dudes that are already open, and that's enough in the NFL.
I've been saying that for weeks. I'm not a fucking tape watcher. I've been saying that. Any normal fan can see that. You know, yeah. Look at Drew. Drew will throw into triple coverage, and his receiver will still catch the fucking ball because he puts it in the one place where his receiver can catch it,
yeah.
And he knows that he's maybe not open when he throws it. He's going to be open. It's like it's a world of difference. Taysom
well,
is
half, half the time the defender doesn't even know where the ball's going to be because it's out before the receiver's break.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you know, we talked about this in the post game, but I'll say it once again. I think it bears repeating. It's when you have Deontay one-on-one and the play call is a shot play, you've got to go put the ball out there and trust that Deontay is going to outrun any DB and he's going to go make that play. You have to trust that. And so you launch that ball. That's the play call. It's a shot play. Take the shot. And instead he climbs the pocket. He climbs the pocket. He waits to see it. And then finally, when there's separation, he starts to rear back, and it's already too late at that point.
I bet. I mean, and you know, Sean Payton in the film review is just beside himself because you know they've been setting that play up for fucking weeks, right?
It was a perfect play. I like that. That's another thing that drives me crazy is the Saints fans that say, "Oh, Sean Payton's getting too cute." It was the perfect play call.
Perfect.
The play call was perfect.
Yeah, it's the execution.
It should have been 14-0. Deontay got the coverage look they wanted. He was wide freaking open. They put 9 guys in the box. It played out exactly like it was supposed to, and the quarterback couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah. So we got to get to the hotline this week. And look, I'm not going to pretend that we have something as great as the Russian woman in the hotline for this week. But I have to say, the opening call that somebody did at halftime of the Bears game is pretty close to the Russian lady that called last week. So, without further ado, here is the Saints Happy Hour hotline celebrating the win over the Bears. It's time for this week's hottest takes from the Saints Happy Hour hotline.
I just want to conduct a search party for Sean Payton's balls because his ambush and flea flicker and challenge flag raining days are over, and he's now the guy who bent over for Goodell and doesn't trust his future Hall of Fame quarterback to get 8 yards with the game on the line.
As we've learned with anything in 2020, it's all just a bunch of horse shit.
So fuck it. That's it. That's the voicemail. That's it. That's it. Play me on the show. Don't play me on the show. I don't give a fuck.
Hey everybody, I just spoke to Sean Payton as he's heading into the locker room during halftime. He said he's happy with the way his defense is playing, but he's got to find a way for CD Deuce to get punched in the face. That's something they've absolutely got to get cleaned up in the third quarter. Back to you.
So it looked like we took care of the team, took care of the Bears. They suck ass and we love it. Now, we took care of Trubisky. I wish we sacked him a little more, you know, but it is what it is. And we need to score that touchdown. God damn it, Drew Brees, but on the Tampa. And I got to say this and only this. How many times you got to teach you, old man? How many times?
All I'm saying is at halftime, I went to the gas station and I bought a six-pack. And we fucking turned it on and kicked their ass. So guess who's blacking out for the rest of the playoffs? Who that?
Hey, guys. I know that for most of this season, folks have been bitching about, well, the offense didn't do this, special teams didn't do this, defense didn't do this. You know what? We got the job done, and we get fucking Tom Brady for a third time. I cannot wait to bend that motherfucker into a pretzel and make that piece of shit eat every fucking fried thing in sight from depression of letting him know that we're fucking sending his ass home. Bring it on next week. The defense looks fucking awesome. Breeze, he was fine, but more importantly, they got the job done. It exercised every fucking demon from the last 2 years, and we're fucking ready to make a goddamn run of the Super Bowl. Who fucking dat? Let's go.
I thought in the first half, Sean was getting too cute, not running the ball. Got his head in his ass. But second half, he got back to what he was supposed to be doing. And I love it, and that's why we got the win. He comes out with that bullshit next week, we're going to lose to Tom Brady. All right, I love y'all. Who that?
I love that last one. It's so good.
The second one was a guy doing a bit too. Is like a new, or is he just from New York?
I don't know.
Yeah, like you guys ever listen to like those old Jerky Boys CDs?
Yes.
Get out of here.
I feel like the first one sounded a little bit like Saul Rosenberg.
I did.
You can pick up. Yeah.
I did it. The Saul Rosenberg. It was.
This is Saul.
It was like our Saul. It was like our good audio. It comes in and goes out. It comes in and goes out. Like he was trying to do this.
That sounded like a gay Harry Carey.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, I'm just, you know, but it did remind everybody. Remember like 2 years ago? Remember 2018 during the press conference when that guy asked Peyton that question? He was like, "On the sunny side, despite tonight not being the berries, you have to believe that your Crescent City Button Men are all set to make a great run at another ice-covered Roscoe, just like the Bulldog Boys from Kentown." Remember that?
I forgot about that.
About ready to make another run of the big title, sir.
Yeah. So, remember that. How did he react to that?
So listen, call the hotline before 1 o'clock on Mondays, and you could be part of the show. Let me pull up the hotline, Dave. I know that's your baby. We want.
I would have this memorized by now.
No, I don't have it memorized.
No. You would think I know you wouldn't have it memorized.
So 210-595-0818. We want to have a hotline of nothing but Tom Brady slander. So call in before Thursday at noon, and if we can get enough Tom Brady slander calls, we'll run it on the Friday show. And the best Tom Brady slander, if we get a really good one, we'll send you a T-shirt. So call 210-595-0818. Do it now.
Help us get to number one in Malta. Ralph, do we need to like have a title for one of our podcasts? Just be like Malta is the greatest or something.
I think we do.
I think that could push.
I think
that
put us over the top. Malta States fans represent.
I want to make sure Gay Harry Carey calls back again. I want some more from Gay Harry Carey. But two, like, did you ever think like if we like went to Malta, would like we like walk into stores and like people would like recognize us?
Yeah, I think we'd be like huge celebrities.
Be like mobbed when we walked out of the airport.
I think we'd be mobbed. Yeah.
The only thing that delights me more than the fact that we are on our way to being number one in Malta was the fact that. We had the really great audio for me and Andrew for a couple of the daily podcasts, and there was a large segment of people in the Discord channel that were like, I don't know how I feel about the great audio. It's like my favorite band making it big time. So, like, that delighted me more.
Yeah, it's like the indie band that gets the record deal, the record label.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden their albums sound way more produced.
We've had this podcast for 13 years, and people are disappointed when our audio reached professional quality. I don't know what it says about us, but it says something about this show. Might be good, might be bad, but it definitely says something.
All of the above.
All because
I think who's bigger, Drew Brees in New Orleans or Ralph Malbro in Malta?
Oh, Malta for sure, Malbro.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He's on like billboards and shit.
All right. So I got like four. My mom called me up today at 8:45, Dave, and she didn't even say good morning, glad the Saints won. She said, and I quote, "Ralph, when are you going to open your eyes during your Channel 4 interview?" And I said, I don't know, Mom.
I'm still thinking about Malta. You know, I heard the the latest dance craze in Malta is where everybody dances with one arm like limp at their side because it's like they're like trying to be Ralph.
Well, if we're number one,
that's like the most popular dance in Malta right now.
We. We We got to find a way. If we become number one in Malta, we have to have like a celebratory podcast where we just go nuts. Oh, special edition.
Dude, we if we're number one in Malta.
What is the population? The population of Malta has to be like.
Breaking news, motherfucker. Book that.
I can look up the population of Malta.
I'm watching YouTube right now. Our feed just to make sure it's working.
It's not.
It's on a delay. And so I'm seeing Ralph dance from the techno all over again.
Full disclosure. I am like a child tomorrow morning with Thomas. It's going to be like going to the principal's office for me. He is going to be like, Ralph, I have told you a million times how to stack Discord, how to have 720 HD. What the fuck happened? I'm sorry, Thomas. We had problems with the clean.
Don't you mean Tomas?
Tomas. We had problems Tomas. With the clean stream, and everything was fucking a disaster with the YouTube.
Yeah, can't Thomas find a way to bake our numbers in Malta and just create a couple?
He's like, Ralph, I cannot do the video. I need to code. Can't you come up with some code where we're just like number one in Malta, where you just like the downloads just keep on coming?
There are 441,000 people in Malta.
Oh, I have 493.
Oh, I got 441, 543, 441,000.
Maybe.
Either way, Either way, it's less than half a million. So.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean. If I would even if we could be number one in Malta, I wouldn't want that more than a Saints Super Bowl. But if you told me the Saints could win the Super Bowl, we could be number one in Malta, but in 2021 they had to go 2-14, I would sign up for that.
Oh,
today.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Today.
Weren't we number one in Malta before?
No, we've only been up to number two. We've never been number one.
And so we're currently number two.
We're currently number two.
All right, well, I'm Googling now how many people in Malta listen to podcasts.
We've been number two many times, though, in Malta. So Mina Kimes is number one.
Mina Kimes. God, Mina Kimes. Like,
and for some reason, that's probably why we're number two, because we had Mina Kimes on for one of our podcasts.
Hey,
and
we had Mina Kimes on.
They just stuck around. They don't even know they're subscribed. They're subscribed to so many podcasts it never even shows
they
up.
They probably just keep re-listening to that one show where we had Mina Kimes.
Right.
Hey,
somewhere in Malta, there's a serial killer for Mina Kimes.
You laugh, but we...
You might have saved Mina Kimes' life.
We had Mina Kimes on, and she's half... Her mom is Korean. So we went from not being ranked in Korea to we're top 20 in football in Korea every single week since we had Mina Kimes on. That is a fact. So I'm just
unbelievable.
I'm just saying.
I found an old Reddit thread in the Malt subreddit asking if there's any Maltese podcasts. So it's 3 years old, but I'm going to comment now. I'm going to say, if you're not already listening to this thing.
I have to say, that's our next thing. That's our next thing to get to closer to being legitimate. We need to have our own Reddit thread. We need to have our own Reddit
grassroots group. Maltese campaign.
Yeah. All right. So we got
boots on the ground.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We got a ton of questions we got to get to. Dave, this is from CJ. While watching a Saints game during carnival season, what is the one king cake you choose?
Oh, this isn't even close. I posted an update on my Facebook, on my personal Facebook. Obviously, I know nobody out there is friends with me on Facebook, and you never will be. But Dong Phuong is the leader in the clubhouse for king cakes.
This is an interesting question from the real Emmett.
Hey, Dells, all the way.
Andrew, how much longer will Sean Payton coach in New Orleans?
Man, I don't know. I don't know, man.
If they hit on a quarterback, he could be here another decade. Like if it's a draft or whoever, but if they can hit on a quarterback, they have a roster that can succeed. And the thing is with Sean Payton is he's 58. So if they hit on a quarterback, he could coach another 5-10 years and he could be a lifer with the Saints, man. I mean, it's unlikely, I think.
Pete Carroll is over 70 now, isn't he?
Yeah. But Pete Carroll is like in ridiculous shape for a 70-year-old man, though.
He is, yeah.
Sean Payton is not. We love Sean, but, you know.
I could see 5-6 more years. I really could.
Oh, I could see way longer than that. I'm getting a good laugh out of Tara Reek in the chat. She's asking if the Ralph dance is like the giddy, but just one arm hangs at your side off.
It is.
Is there some bet we can make, Ralph, to see you do the giddy? Like, if the Saints win the Super Bowl, Ralph to
If the Saints win the Super Bowl.
If we're number one in Malta.
Write it down. Right. If the Saints – I'll do you one better. If the Saints beat Tampa, I'll do the giddy.
All right, that's easy. All right. And then also Fredo, apple and goat cheese king cake. Get the fuck out of here. What the fuck are you talking about? Jesus Christ.
Shut your whore mouth.
I thought I liked Fredo.
Sammy asks, is Botox on the league's banned substance list? I'm pretty sure Tom Brady has a pound of it in his face. I mean, Tom Brady actually tweeted out a picture. The History Channel, and it had him with like a Santa Claus beard and Drew Brees with a beard. It was funny. Sammy, also, we talked about Sean Payton
Are you reading these questions from the Discord channel?
I'm reading them from Twitter. Do you have the Discord channel up?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
I got some. Eddie Stowe wants to know, what kind of powers does CJ have that he could get players ejected even after the Bears coaches have had a specific meeting about him?
I mean, I don't know.
You're going to have to sign up for his TED Talk.
He has a PhD in getting Bears receivers ejected.
If here's a question. If he can get another receiver ejected against Tampa, whether it's Evans or Antonio Brown or whoever, does he have to have a statue next to Gleason?
Yeah, no, right next to it, absolutely. Well, no, on the other side of the dome. We don't want to take anything away from Steve, but on the other side of the gloom, absolutely. And it's him getting punched in the – it's a statue of him getting punched in the
face. I just wish he had a different number, because every time I see 22, I think of Fumble Svenerty. all right, Dave, AVL Saint 55 wants to know, what do you think of Coach stepping up and getting slimed after the win?
Peyton's a cool dude, man. Peyton's always down for having fun. That's why I love him. You gotta love him. We have the best coach in the league.
Yeah, and everyone else hates him, which makes me like him even more. Yeah,
everybody hates Gardner Johnson too, which makes me love him even more too.
Yeah. Ralph, is it too much? This is from Budrich. Is it too much to ask if Davenport can pull a Bobby McCray and knock Tom Brady out?
Ooh, Bobby McCray, underrated Saints player. He literally sent Kurt
Driving
Warner into retirement. I don't think Davenport's the one. He's been playing crap. I would say you're looking at Cam, or you know who could do it? Onyemata. That dude is a freak. If he could get loose and get pressure up the middle, he could send Brady into retirement. I'm for it, though.
Let's see. This is from Surprising. If he does, Dave, if he does knock, if Davenport knocks Brady out and mm-hmm. we're winning, mm-hmm. does Sean put in Winston in for a pass along the Buck sidelines on the first play of the next series?
Yes. Ooh. Yes, absolutely.
I feel like
you know Peyton would troll. You know, Peyton
I feel like Winston's going to factor into this game some sort of way. He's either going to play because Drew Brees gets hurt and the Saints, their season ends in a horrible fashion, or Sean Payton puts him in and he throws a touchdown to just stick it to the Bucks.
Yeah.
In garbage time.
All right, let's see here. King Okra says, can we raise enough money to send CD to London to see if he can break into one of Buckingham Palace's guards? I'm beginning to think he could do it after yesterday.
Get the queen herself to slap him.
Joey P. wants to know, Ralph, when will Loomis Math get its own wing in the Smithsonian?
I don't know. I just thought of a great idea for a TV show. How long can you sit with CD Deuce before you punch him in the face? And like every minute you can go, you win like 10 grand.
Hosted by Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's rich. Will there be a game where Breeze catches a TD pass from Taysom and dunks the ball all over the goalpost?
No way. Breeze is too old, and his ribs are too sore.
Taysom's already said he's been instructed to not throw the ball to Breeze under any circumstance.
Yeah.
Dave, how sweet will it be to whip the Rams Ooh. In the NFC Championship game after Rodgers lays an egg this weekend?
That's not happening. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal. I would rather – I know Ralph may disagree, but I'd rather play the Rams at home.
Oh, I would rather play – I'd rather play the Rams too, but like
– play the Packers.
The Rams are going to lose – they're going to lose like 24-6 on Saturday. Like, it's going to be like the – it's going to be like a replay of the Saints and Bears. Like, the Rams aren't going to be able to fucking score. Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if we want to be serious for a second – I lightning doesn't strike twice. I just don't think if we played the Rams, I don't think there would be some crazy, you know, call that screws the Saints and they lose again. You know, I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about anything like that. And you know, other than their defense, I think the Rams are a mediocre team, and the Saints are, they're very beatable. Very beatable.
This is just me asking you guys this, but would it be preferable for you guys, like, assuming the Saints win the NFC Championship game, would you prefer to watch them beat Rodgers, for Breeze to beat Rodgers after beating Brady, or would you prefer
exact
revenge on the Rams?
No, I would. I was gonna have a little thing about this later, but yeah, I would prefer if I knew he was gonna win, I would much prefer to beat Rodgers. For sure.
I would much prefer to kick not even close. I would much prefer to kick the ever living shit out of the Rams, and
I agree.
And be just enjoying the whole second half of, oh my God, they're going to the Super Bowl, like, stress free, just making jokes. Maybe it gets to 28-3, and we can troll the Falcons. Like, I would much prefer that than beating Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think
the thing
be
the thing that would give me the most joy is for us to ask the refs to make phantom calls. To throw the Rams a bone because they're getting beat so bad.
Rams are 6.5-point underdog, by the way.
Surprising's asking about the Saints going after Jalen Hurts. You know, I'm not a Jalen Hurts believer. He's a total flash in the pan against the Saints. Dave, who's more likely to punch CJ? Is it Evans, Brown, or Godwin? Or is Mike Evans punching Lattimore instead?
Ooh. I could see Evans punching Lattimore before he punched CJ. I don't know. I would love if CJ could get in Evans' head and get him ejected, especially like early in the game. that would be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing. There's no way, though. You know, the Bucks are, I think, a little bit a better coach team than the Bears. So I there's no way that's happening again.
Getting Brady to punch CeeDee Deuce, that'd be...
God. It would be great, but there's no way that they would eject Brady from the game if he punched. They'd be he deserved it. They'd probably eject...
Brady could probably take off his helmet and beat CeeDee Deuce to death, and they wouldn't eject Brady from the game.
Right. Miles Garrett, that shit.
Ralph, I got two more. Ralph, this one's for you. This is from Saints Rabbit, our good buddy. If playoff Sheldon Rankins is a real thing, does Tampa's O-line even stand a chance?
I mean, I hope so, because I literally said in my season prediction, I got the record wrong, but I literally said Sheldon Rankins would be the deciding factor that got the Saints to the Super Bowl. And we would all laugh because they tried to trade him to the Browns to get Jadeveon Clowney. They were going to trade Rankins to create the cap space. Clowney went on IR and was a complete bust for Tennessee. So I hope that Rankins, that yesterday wasn't just a flash in the pan for him, and he can be good these next 2 weeks, because then my prediction would come true. And we all know my predictions are usually
It's always the the moves that Mickey Loomis fails to make that are the greatest.
Mickey Loomis is like touched by God. Like, he just walks by and around and through disasters that almost happen but never quite do.
Yeah.
It's his
superpower. It's like he has some divine intervention throwing him off the path of any mistakes. This last one is from...
I think he just listens to Ralph and does the opposite.
Arena NFL, and he asked me this question, so I'm going to answer this one. He says, if you were told beforehand, before the game, that it would end in a walk-off Jimmy Graham touchdown, and that Trubisky would be the MVP, how panicked would I be? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you told me that Jimmy Graham was going to have a walk-off TD and that Trubisky was the player of the game, I would not watch the game.
Oh my, that
I
is true.
I would not even turn it on.
You'd have gone on an 8-hour hike instead of a 4-hour hike, yeah, Sunday?
That's right. I would not have turned on Twitter. I would not have watched the game. I could not have opened myself up to the pain and suffering that
worked on your
like.
Backhand.
So stop the steal. Count every vote.
Yeah.
Stop counting. Stop counting. Count every vote.
All right.
That's all I got.
All right. So now we got to get to the game prediction. But before we get to that, reminder, sign up for our podcast. We had Harrison Wang. I don't know if that's Grandmaster Wang's alias on Patreon, but we had Harrison Wang sign up. We had Susan sign up. We had Bob sign up. We had a bunch of people sign up today because they know we're the best Saints podcast on earth. We give you content every day for the playoffs, and the Saints offseason is going to be bananas, and we're going to be covering it like nobody else. So you should sign up, and you should get yourself over to saintshappyhourshop.com and buy all the swag. Dave has all your swag needs covered, so do it.
Dave, you got any shipments going out to Malta yet?
No.
Any
I haven't
Maltese
got any
orders?
I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know. I guess I don't really offer international shipping, so.
So the Saints are currently a 3-point favorite over Tampa, and I have this soundbite built, ready to go. I've been dying to play it because the Saints kicked the ever-living hell out of Tom Brady like he's never been beaten in his life, and I feel like, once again...
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I want to believe, Andrew, that another beating is coming to Tom Brady. So, Saints Bucks, who you got?
I think the offense is going to execute better. I think the defense is going to play well. It's going to be nervy. It's going to be tight. Tampa's going to play well. Saints 27, Bucks 24. My star of the day.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to go with Emmanuel.
They
want
to bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
He's kind of low key right now. He had a quiet first game. I think he's going to have a massive reception in this game.
Ooh.
At a critical time.
So Dave, who you got, and who is your star of the day?
Well, first of all, I think this is about the time. Like an hour before kickoff this Sunday, I think this is about the time where we're going to get a Sean Payton to Dallas rumor.
Oh yeah,
I think this is normally about the time where those start to get cooked up. So if we don't,
did you guys see Dan Quinn got hired by the Cowboys?
That is fucking stupid. Wake up.
So if I don't see any Sean Payton to Jerry Jones really likes Sean Payton in Dallas. If I don't see that, then I'm going to be worried. Before I even get to that, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to put any more pressure on the man than he's already got, but this is a fucking must-win game for Drew, okay? And I will accept absolutely nothing less. There's no way that he's going to lose to Tom Brady in the divisional round of the playoffs. Like, at this point, this going to the divisional round of the playoffs is to be expected at this point for the Saints, okay? This is nothing new. We do this every year. It's Super Bowl or bust at this point. And there is no way that Drew Brees is going to lose in the Superdome to Tom Brady as Tom Brady continues on with a whole brand new team, continues on the playoffs. If that happens, there is no fucking way that he is allowed to retire. Okay, I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. This is it's either win this game and I will let you retire, or you lose this game, you're coming back next season. Okay, you are coming back next season if you lose this game. So if you want to fucking retire this year, you better win this fucking game. I am dead fucking serious. Okay, now going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think this sets up nicely. I love the storyline of Brees coming out to beat Brady and then Rodgers and then probably Mahomes to cement his legacy as definitely the best quarterback that's ever played the game. He'll get that second Super Bowl. He'll get that quote-unquote monkey off his back. It's ridiculous that having one Super Bowl, only one Super Bowl, is a monkey on your back. But, I guess it is for some people. But It's going to be a tough game. Saints are home, for whatever it's worth. I haven't gotten my notification yet. I'm hoping I'm going to get tickets to this game, but I haven't gotten anything yet, so I don't know. You know, I'm very confident that the Saints will win. I think we're going to continue to see their defense play well, and hopefully we'll see their offense pick it up a little bit. Maybe Mike Thomas will finally emerge. But it'll be close. It's definitely going to be a close game. It's not going to be like the game we saw last time these two teams met. I like the 27-24 score prediction. I would go with something like that. I wouldn't be out of the... I'm going to go with Deontay, obviously. I have to go with Deontay now. He's back. He looked great this week. I have to go with him. I have to stick with him returning a punt or a kick for a touchdown. But aside from that, and this isn't out of the realm of possibility, I'm going to say little Jordan Humphrey. He's going to do something again.
Hey, you didn't even mention it. He was great. He caught a big pass on the drive to make it 21-3. He drew a pass interference penalty. Like, he was...
He also, you know, Andrew was on him. A lot of people were on him. He also didn't touch the receiver down. He thought the receiver
might have made him separate.
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
It certainly wasn't a perfect game. That's why I wasn't going to brag on him too much. But in all seriousness, his catch, and not necessarily the catch, but the run after that.
Beautiful.
It was.
To get the first down. I mean, that saved that drive.
That was very Traquan-y of him.
It kind of reminded me of the Willie Snead catch against the Vikings in 2017 on that fourth down play or whatever that was.
That was very Ralph of you.
I know. I remember that one. I will brag on him for a little bit, and it's great to see him involved a little bit more. So maybe we'll see something special from him. But I'm not kidding, Drew. You are not losing this fucking game.
Yeah.
You are absolutely not losing this game. You are not allowed to lose this game. And what I love about Drew is – I know he feels the same way as I do, and he's in some fucking weird-ass alien hyperbaric chamber shit right now, doing some weird shit to his body to make sure that he wins this fucking game.
Well, actually, if you looked at his Instagram, you'd know that he's making lentil soup.
It looked terrible. I wouldn't yeah. even eat it. Kale? Get out of here.
No kale, lentil soup, and he was putting Brussels sprouts in it.
That's weird.
Those things are all fine by themselves, but
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
Ralph, I missed one question by Ambush. He wants to know, how many sacks will our worst pass rusher, Trey Hendrickson, have per Bruce Arians?
All the sacks? All the sacks?
Yes,
our Zoom meeting.
You mean the easiest guy to block?
The easiest guy to block.
Bruce Arians with his mask and his thing around his shoulder and his glare. He looks like it looks like the worst Star Wars cosplay I've ever seen.
I never had an issue with Arians until this year, and I can't stand him now.
Yeah. He throws everybody under the bus. He's not that good of a coach. He doesn't make adjustments. This game, here's my thing with this game. I want to believe that the Saints are about to teach Tom Brady a lesson again.
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I want to believe that. I know it all goes the Saints' way, but I just have a terrible feeling about this game. Tampa, they won the Stanley Cup. Their baseball team got to the World Series. I think Tampa's going to win Sunday. I think the Saints, they're going to continue with their bad offensive penalties and turnovers, and they're not going to be good enough. And I think Tampa's going to get the win.
Ralph, what are you doing to us, man?
I'm just saying, if I'm wrong, laugh at me. But I just feel like Tampa is playing really good. And the thing is, they are doing things. They did things against Washington to break tendencies. I think they're going to get to Breeze. And I think even though the defense is going to slow Brady down, I think the offense is going to let the Saints down again. Tampa 24-17. And that's going to be a wrap for 2020.
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, listen, my God.
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
But I gotta be honest with the people. I can't lie. If I think the Saints are gonna win, I tell you. I told you people
you're
they would dump
that,
truck Tampa the second
column?
Time, and this time I don't think the Saints are gonna win.
You're writing that in your column.
I want you guys to know that my bookie that called this show and insulted me, that I put $100 on the Saints this weekend, and I didn't hear him calling the show this time.
I thought yeah, for
I
sure.
I tried to put 200, and he only takes 100 max bets, so he would not let me bet more.
What kind of bookie do you have that takes max bets? Jesus. Get an adult bookie, Juge. Come on.
I know. Seriously.
If your bookie's not calling you because you owe them four figures, you're not a real gambler. So I mean, I had the Rams and the under, and I was feeling good about that Saturday, and it didn't turn out. But listen,
Nick says he's not sending you any more beers after your prediction.
Nick, my wife.
You can send them to me instead.
I'll take them. My wife.
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
She really liked that beer.
My wife.
So listen, thanks for joining us, everybody. Sorry we started a little late. Sorry the audio isn't the pristine, clean stream audio that you had become accustomed to from two episodes.
And sorry that Ralph is a freaking traitor.
They've had caviar and they can't go back to tuna now, Ralph.
Well, Dave, it's your fault. We're gonna have to get that straightened out. You're sending a giant
tuna
echo back to the people in the clean stream.
Smelly can of
you're the sardines.
Yeah, we'll get that fixed. We'll get clean stream. We'll get it up.
Do we need the techno music to celebrate this Bears playoff win?
Oh yeah.
We're doing Malta. Play the Malta music.
If I'm wrong, I'll do the giddy for y'all next Monday night. All right. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, I'm Ralph. Sorry, Thomas. I know. I fucked up the video. You can yell at me tomorrow. until then, until next time, the bar
is one of these calls.
Is the bar is closed?
Can
Fuck
Thomas
all of y'all.
Come on this podcast.
Yeah. Will you record one of these phone calls with Thomas so we can hear this?
Yeah. That should be a show, an episode, just a call with Thomas.
Drop it in on the hotline.
Put that as a daily show.